Before we get to today's episode, I just wanted to remind everybody about the upcoming Phoenix Fan Fusion Convention, formerly Phoenix Comic Con. It runs 4 days from May 23rd through May 26th, and there are tons of great guests. Just listen to some of the names. Jeff Goldblum, one of my favorite actors of all time, The Fly, Thor Ragnarok, Jurassic Park. We also have Nicolaj Coster-Waldau from Game of Thrones, Ray Park, who played Darth Maul, Amy Jo Johnson, the Pink Ranger, Robin Lord Taylor, who is the Penguin on Gotham. We have Adam Savage from Mythbusters, Paul Rubens, Mr. Pee-wee Herman himself, from the world of Star Trek, George Takei, Nichelle Nichols, Walter Koenig, and Garrett Wong. Frodo's going to be there, actor Elijah Wood, from the Harry Potter movies, Matthew Lewis, who played Neville Longbottom, Summer Glau from Firefly, and finally Billy Dee Williams, I'll mention, from Star Wars, has a big role in the upcoming Star Wars movie, Episode 9, that's out this Christmas. So again, tons of media guests available for autographs and photo opportunities, and I think it's a really great lineup they have this year. From the world of comics, they have some real legends there. Jerry Conway, Dennis Cowan, Roy Thomas, Kevin Eastman from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, super talented artist Michael Golden, Joe Staton, Neil Adams, Christopher Priest, a very prolific writer, is going to be there, Howard Chaykin, Denny O'Neill, who pretty much ran the Batman books from the late 80s all the way up through the 90s and into the 2000s, also legendary artist Kevin Nolan. There's also going to be creators like David Marquez, who most of you will remember from his work on Ultimate Spider-Man, Derek Robertson, who co-created The Boys with Garth Ennis. There's an upcoming Amazon show focused on that property. We have Greg Land, Ty Templeton, Tony Parker, Larry Stroman, along with tons of other artists and creators that are going to be there. So it's one of those shows that don't forget where their roots are from. There's tons of great comic creators, writers, and they have a great artist alley and a lot of local creators there as well. So I do recommend this show. It's one of those shows I think everybody should do. The tone and the feel of the show is unique and something all its own. Tons of cosplayers, a lot of Doctor Who, a lot of Star Wars. So whatever your particular fandom is, you'll probably find something of interest at Phoenix Fan Fusion. Tickets have been rolled back in terms of cost to the 2017 prices. It's only $85 for all 4 days. They raised them last year to cover a lot of the security that's in place. And I think all that's still going to be in place, but they listened to the fans and they heard that, yeah, the prices were a little bit too high. So they're certainly competitive when you compare them to the four-day cost of a lot of other shows, or the per-day cost, I should say. And there's tons of events, tons of stuff going on. They close the streets next to the convention center. There's food trucks out there, lots of covered seating where you can sit in the misters and eat some good food and just hang out and have a really great time. It's going to be fun. As I said, I do recommend everybody getting out to Phoenix Fan Fusion. I'll be there covering it for the Comic Source and LRM Online, and I hope to see you there. All right, everybody, it's time for another Webtoon Wednesday, and I have with me today a creator from Webtoon who has a strip called Big Joe. It's my pleasure to welcome Julia Aristago to the podcast. Did I say that last name right? Aristegui?
It's Aristegui. Aristegui.
Aristegui, right. Sorry about that. So yeah, welcome to the show, Julia. How are you?
I'm great. And how are you, Jace?
I'm doing outstanding. It's my pleasure whenever I get to talk to another Webtoon creator. It's such a great platform.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and the first time I have someone on the show, I always like to talk to them about their background with comics, kind of their history or secret origin, if you will. So did you grow up reading comics? Were they a part of your childhood?
I sure did. My father had a treasure cove filled with comics, and he had many weird stuff, many underground comics and stuff European stuff, things from the 70s and the 80s. And I would sneak in to his office and read it. So I had quite a varied sorts of comics to read from. I was a fan.
And so did you also draw and illustrate? Were you very creative as a child as well?
I did. I think most people who turn out to be comic artists, they start from the early childhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was I was doing comics ever since I was a toddler, I think. Of course, I couldn't write, but my mother would write for me, so I still find this kind of things in her house.
So was it always a dream of yours, even from a young age, to create your own stories, create comic strips?
I don't know if I was aware of it. It was, but it was like a very far away dream, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I used to think that becoming a published comic artist was something like, you know, playing a guitar and wanting to be a rock star.
Right.
I thought it was really hard to achieve. So it wasn't really, you know, this kind of goal that you set yourself and you hope to achieve it and this kind of thing, you know, it was a far away thing.
So at what point did you start thinking, well, maybe I can at least, you know, webtoon or self-publish? At what point did you start thinking, yeah, even though it's a dream I've always had, maybe I can make it a reality? Was there like a certain time, or did it, you just wake up one day and all of a sudden your strip was on webtoon and you're like, how did I get here?
It was kind of like that. No, I moved to another country some years ago, and I didn't really have a social life because I didn't make many friends there. So I wanted to see where I could go when I had all that extra time, you know, when you're usually socializing and being a normal person. I was inside drawing Big Joe. I started drawing Big Joe, and I wanted to see where it would go, so I just started posting it online. And at first, you know, you don't have many readers because you're not well known or anything, but things just progressed really quickly. And it was from, you know, out of the blue that I got an email from Webtoon in the end. But I already had some followers, you know. I had a following when they asked me if I wanted to be a featured artist there. But it was a quick process, you know, in the end.
So you were working and you were creating Big Joe and posting it weekly. While you were doing that, did you still have a day job?
I did. Back then, I did.
Got it. So
I was a graphic designer. I still kind of am, but right now I'm not working as a graphic designer anymore.
Yeah, so that's kind of a story I hear from a lot of Webtoon creators, and specifically, yeah, so I was working as a graphic designer, and doing the comic on the side, and then it kind of blew up. So it's, you know, thank God for Webtoon that it allows you to create while still,
yeah,
you know, paying the bills until you can get the comics to start paying off. It's really, I think, something that's admirable about Webtoon. I love the, kind of the model they have, the way that the content is free for all the readers, but even though the content is free, the creators are being paid, you know, a competitive like page rate for their
yes,
it's,
yes,
yeah, it's really, really,
it works cool. Really well.
Yeah, definitely. So we've mentioned Big Joe, your strip that you're here to talk about. Why don't you let the readers kind of know what the story is all about?
So I have a long answer and a short answer.
Let's go with the long.
The long answer is it's a coming of age story about a girl who she's fat and she's going through high school, you know, and all those challenges that you have during that time in your life. But the short answer is that I wanted to write a romance story where the main character just happens to be fat. And this is, for me, the point that I keep coming back to in my head, at least when I'm writing Big Joe. It's a romance story, and that's it.
Yeah, so when I first started reading it, I didn't pick up on that right away. I don't know that it's, you know, it's not, mm-hmm, kind of in your face right away that it's got this romantic aspect to it. You know, there's so many of the romance titles on Webtoon, particularly the ones that are more Asian influenced or more of an Eastern style kind of look and feel in terms of visuals, you know, they look kind of, you yes. can tell they've been inspired by manga and, you know, it's that whole Asian culture, whether it be Japanese or Korean or whatever, what have you. But it's kind of obvious just from the style of art that as soon as you start reading it, that it's, you know, a romance. Big Joe's different, you know, there's humor, it's slice of life. It's realistic. You're tackling these kind of themes and ideas that, we probably all dealt with to some extent in high school, you know, feelings of self-worth mm-hmm. and stuff. And it's not until later, it kind of happens more naturally that you realize, hey, there's this romance aspect to it. So did you realize or did you set out to pace it that way so that it, you know, we get to know Joe first and kind of understand who she is and some of her challenges before you brought in the romance aspect? Was that your idea from the beginning?
That was actually a sort of a, not a problem, but a question when I started being a featured artist. Where should my comic go, you know? Mm-hmm. In the end, it's on drama because of what you just said. It's not a typical romance. I just, it's for me, that's, you know, the point that I keep trying to go back to. That it is a romance story in my head, you know, mm-hmm. but it's not typical. No, maybe you could say it's a slice of life, you know, or I don't know. There's a defunct section that was like heartwarming. It's sort of a heartwarming story, so it was also there. I don't think they have this section anymore. But yeah, it's sort of hard to put a label on it, isn't it? I think I was trying to do many things with the same idea, you know, trying to show how it is to be a fat teenager and not to only to show the dark side or the bad things that can happen to you, but, you know, that you can be a whole person and have a whole life, you know. So, yeah, it kind of went everywhere, like you said.
Yeah, but that's what's kind of interesting about it, right? Because that's kind of real world. I mean, none of us in our lives have where, you know, one particular part of our life is one sort of story. We're many roles, right? We have our mm-hmm. role as a coworker, a colleague, our role as a parent, our role as a spouse, our role as a brother or a sister or a grandchild. You know, some of us, maybe you coach community sports. So you have all these roles and you can't really just say, okay, your story as a real person, Julia, is a romance story. Right, because you're married, and so obviously you have that romantic relationship with your significant other. You're also a mother, so you have that. So again, it's not your only story. So you have a lot of stories, and so I think that one of the great things about Big Joe is that it tackles that, and in that way, it feels relatable because maybe you weren't an overweight person, right? Maybe you were super popular in high school, and so you can't relate mm-hmm. to those struggles that Joe has, but maybe you can relate to the drama she has with, should I date this person? Should I date this person? Which is the right, you know, person for me, my feelings, and being shy with romantic feelings. Again, there's a point of entry for just about everybody, and maybe you don't even identify with Joe at all, but you can identify with some of the other characters in the story because you have a pretty decent cast, and you've been able to give a lot of them unique voices. Was that sort of a challenge? Did you have to go back and kind of pull on your memories from high school for those things to kind of flesh out the realism of all these characters?
I did. A lot of the characters are kind of based on not one person, you know, but many people sometimes, or, you know, this kind of thing. My family really sees themselves in Joe's family. And it's pretty funny because they're like, ah, that's me, right? And, yeah, it is.
Yeah, and that's kind of it brings me to another interesting point is that you know, you kind of have to mash up all these people because otherwise, you know, I'm sure in high school, you know, you have 100 friends. You can't physically draw 100 characters in the strip. It doesn't work. So you take some ideas from here or there and you kind of meld them together. But the other thing that about the strip that really struck me right away is that you're really touching on some sensitive topics, right? Like, as teenagers, we're all searching for our identity, and so much of that is the way we look. And let's face it, teens can be pretty brutal to each other in terms of, you know, teasing and bullying, especially someone who's overweight. And so, do you find it a challenge to kind of tackle sensitive topics like that? I mean, you want to keep it real and make it seem, you know, as realistic as possible, but you also have to be, I mean, you can't go overboard, right? Is that a tough balance to keep?
It is. I'm older than my readers, than most of them, I believe. And so I've been through, you know, many things, and I tried to resolve myself, you know, many times. And in the end, I kind of understood what's all about, I think. You know, I kind of have this this feeling that I know now what's my self-worth or something, and that's not, you know, connected to how much I weight and this kind of thing. You know, those are tough things to understand in the end. But I wanted to bring this to younger people in a, you know, in a soft way. I wanted to show Joe's experience in a way that you could relate to it. And of course, it had to be to have this realistic thing of people, you know, saying, hey, you're fat, you're worthless or something. I kind of put some bullying in the story, but I didn't want it to be heavy, you know. I didn't want it to be depressing. I wanted it to be positive. So it is very hard to balance those things, because I always have some people who are like more radical people about, you know, fat acceptance, for instance. And they're like, this is not enough, you know. You're saying this and that, but it's still not good enough, or it's still not radical enough. But from my point of view, I wanted it to be relatable to most people, to most teens. And it's not everybody that already has the knowledge, you know, about this kind of sensitive topics. And I wanted it to be welcoming and not something, you know, scary or weird or, I don't know, too far away from the reality for them to understand. So I, you know, I wanted to try this kind of soft approach to these heavy topics. And it's not always possible. There is always somebody to say, hey, you're not doing this part well enough. I'm always trying to, you know, listen to this kind of criticism, because it's really important for me. If I want to make this comic better in this, you know, this side. So yeah, it's good. At the same time, I don't want it to be preachy, you know? I want this comic to have like to be a light reading. So yeah, it's tough to balance.
Yeah. When you think about some of those, topics, you mentioned bullying, and, you know, and the teasing and such, is another one, you know, and I mentioned this earlier, kind of an idea of self-esteem. Because we've seen Joe, you know, I guess maybe in the first 40 episodes or so, she starts to kind of broaden her circle of friends, and her kind of her perspective on the way people see her starts to change. And so then she starts to see herself a little bit differently and starts to blossom. So was that specifically a theme that you wanted to examine, kind of this idea of you know, how she sees herself and how she values herself?
Yes, it was important for me that, you know, there are many stories out there who are makeover stories, you know? The character starts like, I don't know, ugly, and then she ends the story being beautiful because she changed or something. And I wanted Big Joe not to be this kind of story. I wanted her to find out her own worth, or, you know, to learn how does she feel, what does make her feel beautiful. But I didn't want her specifically to lose weight. You know, I wanted to make this point of her not changing in the end, just changing the way she sees herself. And yeah, that was a very strong thing for me.
And I know you, at the end of a couple of strips, you mentioned that you drew on some of your own experiences. I think I specifically remember one strip where this bully kind of tries to make friends with Joe, and she says, well, maybe not friends, but just, we'll say non-enemies. And then I think you put a little note at the end, like, this actually happened. So you're really pulling from some of your own life experiences as it pertains to some of the things Joe is going through. Was that fun to revisit? Was it a challenge? Was it painful, some of those memories, or was it all of the above, maybe?
Yeah, all of the above. No, it was mostly fun because I'm so far away from high school right now. It's just, you know, I've had time to process most of it. But I didn't really have it that hard. You know, I was really I've always been very opinionated. So I didn't really have that kind of terrible bullying happen to me. But this part was really funny because back then my bully tried to make friends with me. And I say, never! Nowadays, it's really funny to think about that. I was really childish. You know, I wished I had dealt with it better than I did. But hey, what can you do, right?
Yeah. Now, have you had some, like the reader reactions, have you had some readers reach out to you who maybe are going through these kind of things right now and share their stories with you?
Yeah, that part is amazing. From the beginning, I started getting messages and, you know, mail and letters even from people saying how it was important to them or how it was like the experience they had and this kind of thing. So that part is fantastic. I get a lot of fan art too, which is like a dream come true. You know, I've never imagined that somebody would want to draw my characters. And this is amazing. The response from readers is really great. And to my surprise, I don't really have many haters. I must be doing something wrong, I think.
So does the, you know, you mentioned, and I love this. So, the way the story plays out, and not to spoil too much because we want everyone to read it and check it out for themselves. But there's somebody that befriends Joe and finds a sport for her, and she starts exercising, and the expectation is that she's going to lose weight, and then she doesn't. And as a reader, I was surprised by that, but then also appreciative. And you mentioned it yourself that you didn't want her to make that transformation because supposedly she's some ugly duckling, and then she gets, you know, thin and beautiful, and that's the connotation, right? That's how what we associate with beautiful is she has to be thin. Rather, I think that her transformation is more the way that she sees herself, like we were talking about, her self-worth and how she starts to blossom and seem like a happier person and therefore is more attractive in that way, even though she doesn't lose weight. But is there ever a temptation to go a little too far? Maybe not with the weight, but it'd be easier if you know, I just made her into this, really popular girl, and she, you know, becomes the, you know, whatever, the prom queen, or the, you know, because it would just be fun to see her go through those things. But you also want to keep it realistic and relevant. So is there ever temptations and you have to kind of pull yourself back and say, no, that just wouldn't work for the story that I'm trying to tell?
Yes. Of course there are. just recently I had to go back a bit on the script I was writing, you know, because of this kind of thing. I was thinking about the backlash from some stuff, you know, and then, I realized, oh, okay, she's going to, you know, to go back a bit to how she was, because nobody would have such a, such a great ego, you know,
right.
Such a, nobody would be so self-confident, that self-confident, especially when the person has a history, you know, being picked on because she's fat. I had to go back on some stuff in the script, of course. But I was really adamant from the beginning that she's not going to lose weight. Some readers really beg for it, you know. No, please make her thin. And that's not going to happen. Sorry, folks.
I also wanted to mention to you, now you said you didn't have anywhere near as bad as Joe, but you are drawing on some personal experiences here. And we mentioned you going back and pulling from, you know, some of your own personal experiences and putting those very scenes in the strip. When you do that, and you're creating art and you're putting in, you know, something so personal, you know, you mentioned that it's been a long time, so it doesn't really bother you. But do you get a sense of relief? Like, is it, I don't know what the word is in your language, but we say cathartic, you know, kind of like a release. Mm-hmm. You get to kind of put this out, you know, maybe there's still a little pain you're holding on to from something you went through, but you put it in Jo's story and see the way that she, you know, is faced with it and then overcomes it. Does that help you yourself when looking back? Like, it helps you to kind of get over and not hold on to any of that pain from when you were a kid?
I'm sure it does. I think I grew a lot ever since I began writing the story. And I rewrote it, you know, because of it. I rewrote many parts because of these changes that the story brought to myself, you know. So, yeah, it's very cathartic, of course.
Now, when you said you rewrote it, you would write it and you just realized it wasn't, like, you didn't write it where it made sense for Joe, or was it?
Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
My point also changed a bit from the beginning, you know. I had a stronger point in the end, because I realized when people started messaging me about this, and I saw that this was a story that was common to many people, so I just thought it had to be I had to think again about it, you know,
mm-hmm.
to make some parts of it stronger, the message stronger or something. And at the same time, I didn't want it to be preachy, so I had to rewrite some parts, yes. But it was, you know, a natural process.
Right. Now, when you said you wanted to make the message stronger, was that a realization? Like, did you decide that after you saw reader reaction? Like, you said, oh, I need to make this message stronger because maybe people weren't getting 100% of what you were trying to say? Or did you just realize it kind of on your own?
I realized it on my own because of the way that I started thinking about myself and my story after I started reading this. I started writing Big Joe.
Got it. Now, you mentioned kind of changing the story and strengthening the message. Is there any other ways that the story has evolved from when you first started telling it? Did you already have an end in mind and then it got popular and now you it's become a bigger story? Is there any other ways that it's changed besides just strengthening the message?
Yeah, I kind of write by the seat of my pants. So I have this goal, you know, I have this direction I'm going, but I don't really have all the details. I think most creators kind of work like that. You have some stuff, you know, some stuff you have to show in the process and kind of a direction, but you don't really have everything planned perfectly to the detail. So it's organic. It's very organic.
And we've been talking a lot, I should say, about Joe, but some of the other characters you've really set up to have a journey and to evolve as well, right? So it's not just Joe that's learning and growing. There are other characters that have these arcs as well. Was that something you also planned from the beginning, or did that happen organically over time?
Some of it I planned, some of it came organically. I think characters kind of develop a voice when you're thinking constantly about them, you know. They kind of start to to change in your head, and then you realize, oh, he wouldn't do that or he wouldn't say that. They have a way to show you who they really are with time, you know. Yeah. So it's organic as well, I think.
Yeah, and you've been living with these characters for so long now. Do you have an ending in mind for this story?
I do have an ending. I think having the real, you know, the end itself, the ending itself, it's very important. You can do anything in the middle of the story, but having an ending in mind, it's something to, you know, a direction to go. So yeah, I do.
Now, is it gonna? I imagine it's gonna be bittersweet. This is your first sort of big project that you've done, and it's been successful. You know, you're on the featured side of Webtoon. When it comes to an end, it's going to be like kind of losing touch with members of your family, right? People that have lived with you for years, right? Have you thought about that at all?
Yeah, the end of an era.
Right.
But I hope I can tell other stories, you know, in a partnership with Webtoons. I hope so.
Yeah, you have other other ideas for other strips?
I think everybody does, you know. Yeah. You're always thinking of multiple projects. You just don't have time to do all of them because comics are really hard work.
Right, yeah, especially with the weekly release and putting it out there. So yeah, bittersweet, the time to say, you know, bye to Big Joe, but then exciting because you're starting a new adventure.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about bringing the title to Webtoon when you moved. Had you heard of Webtoon? Like, how did you discover the discover side of Webtoon? How did you come upon it and realize, hey, I can put my comic up there and hopefully there's an audience and people will find it?
I did some research when I was starting because I wanted not to have to deal with, you know, creating my own website and this kind of thing. So it was really from the beginning I knew of it. And I started posting it there a bit later, I think. I don't remember if Webtoons was already as big as it is now. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think they were like starting to get a bigger reach, you know, when I started posting there. But it was something that I just did a Google search and I found out. And there were some people saying great things about it. So I started posting there. I was posting at another site at the time. And then I thought, wait, hey, I could get more readers. That wouldn't be a bad thing.
Right.
So I started posting on Discover. And it was really quick. Everything happened really quickly after that.
Yeah, your fan community and the followers for Big Joe, it seemed like it took off pretty quickly.
Yeah. In the beginning, I didn't have any readers. But after a certain point, people really started talking about it. I don't know. There was a turning point somewhere there, you know. And I always think that it's because I didn't stop, you know. I didn't. I said I'm going to post twice a week at the time. Of course, I was posting two pages a week, which is much less than the episodes that I post now on Webtoon.
Right.
But I was doing it while I was working, so it was kind of it was hard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, I can't stop, you know. If people know that I'm posting on Mondays and, I don't know, Tuesdays, I have to do it because the readers will come back if I do it. So persistence is really key when you're doing this kind of thing, you know. They came back. There was always a new strip. So, yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, was there a point where you thought, okay, now I really got something? Like, it is, because you said you didn't feel like you had a lot of readers at first. Was there one point where all of a sudden you went, oh wait, this is working? Was it getting that,
yes.
Was it that getting that letter from Webtoon, or was it something different?
No, it was before getting a letter from Webtoon, when I got a lot of exposure on the site that I was using earlier. And I had like, it's ridiculous to say it now, but I had like 10,000 readers.
Wow.
That was a really a large number at the time, you know. And I was like, oh, I'm so famous. For me, it was surprising. I didn't expect this kind of, you know, readership. So, yeah, that was the point when I got 10,000 readers.
No, 10,000 readers is great. I mean, look at how many issues of, you know, Avengers sell a month, and it's not much more than 10,000. So 10,000 readers is fantastic. We know how great the fan community is at Webtoon. What about the creator community? Have you had a chance to meet any other Webtoon creators, either face-to-face or struck up any online friendships with any of them?
Yeah, not face to face because I'm located in Brazil, so that's kind of hard. Most people are in the US and or Europe, but we know each other online. You know, there's a great community. We have like a secret Facebook groups and this kind of thing, and it's really healthy and fantastic. Everybody got each other's backs. You know, if you have an issue, you bring it there, and they're like, oh. If you have like an artif or this kind of thing, you know, hey guys, get angry about this with me, and everybody's angry for you, you know.
Yeah.
It's a really a great community. The creator community is fantastic. There's something that I've always really cherished in this this job, you know. The other creators are great.
Yeah, it's not. You're not in competition. You know, it's not a competitive environment where I got to get more readers than you. Everybody pulls for everybody. Everybody wants more readers. And there's a seat at the table for all these stories and for all these ideas. It's one thing I love. And that's true for not just the Webtoon community, but the greater comic book community in general. It's something amazing to be a part of, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Now, would you recommend Webtoon for aspiring creators? Like if you want to be a comic creator, would you recommend their Discover platform as a way to kind of get your foot in the door?
Of course I would. It's really great. Not only the Discover side is really great. You know, you can do many things from there, but being a featured creator, there's like this all this professionalism and this transparency in their work. Mm-hmm. And you feel really, you can trust them, you know. This is great and not that common, you know. The contracts in this world are sometimes very sketchy, and you have to keep an eye out, you know, for somebody wanting to be smarter than you or something,
right,
in the
advantage.
Contract.
Yeah.
But Webtoons is really, really great in this area as well.
Well, that's awesome. And I love Big Joe, Julia. I didn't get a chance to read all the episodes, but you better believe I'm going to get caught up. I think I'm about 45 in. I fell asleep last night reading it because I just couldn't stop. So thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for Big Joe. And is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners? If you have any other projects going on or where they can find you on social media, anything at all?
They can find me pretty much everywhere. I'm not that responsive right now because I have a small baby, but I'm on Twitter as Julia Arostegui and Instagram as Arostegui. Tumblr as well as Arostegui. I have some other like drawings there. And there's a fan page on Facebook, which is a Big Joe Comic. And yeah, you can drop me a line and maybe I'll answer while my baby's asleep.
All right. Sounds great. Well, good luck with your little one and good luck with Big Joe. Wish you the best of luck. And I look forward to your future projects with Webtoon as well.
Thank you, Jace. It was great talking to you.
Yep. You too.